Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi jana ballabha giri vardhari Gopi jana ballabha giri vardhari Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana 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 Yashodanandana Yamuna tira vanachari tira Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hey Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Jaya Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Jaya Guru Dev. Gaura Brahmanande Hari Hari Bol.
Suprabhat Ki Jai.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namam Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Shapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Paschata Desha Tarini Bancha Kalpa Taru Vescha Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Padita Nam Pavanibho Vaishnave Bho Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare
So next 5 days, well next 4 days including today, we're going to discuss preparation of Lord's appearance. And we'll try to cover as much possible. First of all, I made a chart, but the chart is so big, could not fit in there. But to have some idea that entire creation When we think of Krishna, two things, if we can remember, will be the very best helpful in our life. When we chant Hare Krishna, who is Krishna? That question should always stuck in our head. That Krishna, who is, when they ask the question to Sonaka Rishi, ask the question to Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami, he was a learned scholar, but in bhakti tradition, when you know something, you don't say, I know. You say, I heard. It's a very difference between pride and humility. Because generally we hear from Prabhupada and our acharyas, previous acharyas, their commentary, then we should always say, I heard from there, from this source. Should bring a resource, a reference, in order to make the statement effective to me and to the people who hear. Otherwise, our conditioning to this material world intervene as a speculation. So we have to guard our, when we speak, we have to guard our thought process that whether that is affecting the audience to come closer to Krishna or not. And only way it can be done when we repeat as a servant, repeat what we hear and we try to understand that and try to explain that. No need to intervene any mental speculation. It won't help. That's the point. Srila Prabhupada says, the highest realization of Krishna consciousness understanding will be when you are able to give truth to others in such a manner that they will take it positively. Positively in a sense, they will feel they need that the most. They want to act on it. So when we think of Krishna, Badanti tattattavidas tattam jadgyanam addayam brahmeti paramatiti bhagavaniti sabdhati. Krishna means three considerations. One consideration is the truth. One consideration, his pastimes. One consideration, his relishment, inner nourishment. From three angles we need to look. So from the point of truth, who is God, absolute truth? That non-dual substance means you cannot separate. But it is seen that He is everywhere. Who is Krishna? First thing, He is everywhere. He is localized in everyone's heart and He is the possessor of unlimited, inconceivable six potencies. Incomplete. And six potencies are? Fame is one. First is power. Strength. Generally in this world, those who have strength, they are well known. Muhammad Ali, even Arnold Schwarzenegger, or something like that. People remember those. Anybody has it like a big, powerful strength, you know. So, but when you find someone has that strength in a complete form that nothing or no one is comparable, then he's God. So if you search out like this, so six opulences, one is strength, next is Aishwarjasya Virjasya. Huh? Wealth. Good. Next?
Beauty.
Then?
Renunciation.
And knowledge. This is good. And if you, sometimes our mind is satisfied when we know all the details of one thing of Krishna. It is necessary. Otherwise our mind sometimes will not be satisfied. So in this case, if you think that what is the Krishna's power or wealth, give an example. If you look at any philosophy, some philosopher says that God is great. They pray every day 5 times. Allahu Akbar, God is great. Millions of people pray this every day. So when you ask them, because I also personally ask, what is that greatness of God? What is it? That he's bigger than biggest. Okay. But you have any example? We do. The Mahavishnu is a form that nothing is bigger than that form. From his hair pours unlimited universe coming. So how big is his body? You figure it out. Bigger than biggest. But that conception is not greatness completely. Why? Because smaller than smallest also. Krishna says, anor aniyam mahato mohiyam. Anor aniyam, I'm smaller than smallest and bigger than biggest. In order for you to claim that all pervasive, all comprehensive, you have to have a bigger than biggest and smaller than smallest. Because then you can actually literally can say and circumference everything. Because if you say only bigger than biggest, the smaller than smallest you are not, then you're missing your biggest part. So Krishna, he is the smaller than smallest. And what is the proof Prabhupada gives? In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, in the beginning 7 verse, in the purport Prabhupada writes, so the living entity are so small. How small? If you take a tip of hair, yasagra sata bhagasya, sadrisha satanka jiva sukra soropayam sankatito hi chitkan. The verse explains that if you take a tip of your hair, you cut into 100 pieces, and one piece you cut into another 100 pieces, that's the portion of the living entities. I don't know whether it is possible really that small to measure. Now, where is Krishna here? Where is Krishna in your body? Where? Here. Where? Here, where? In the skin? So if we cut this heart, in the physical heart, he's there? Keep thinking, keep thinking. The soul is so small that it's almost impossible. Any equipment ever can be created by the modern scientists to see the soul. Krishna is so genius, he claims he is smaller than smallest, means he enters into the heart of that smallest living entity. So how small he is? It's impossible. If you break down the cellular structure, you can say, go more breaking down atomic structure. Okay, this is a electron, proton. You break down more. But you can never come to that smallest particle. And Krishna claims that he enters into that small heart of that smallest particle. What is the heart? Where Krishna claims in Bhagavad Gita, at least few places, he says 1861, he says Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddesha Arjuna Tishtati. Riddesha. I am in the heart of every living entity, directing the wandering of the soul from up down by placing them in a machine called body. So he claims few places in Bhagavad Gita that I am in the heart. Where is the heart? We should remember, because Srila Prabhupada, I love the way Prabhupada actually breaks down. I mean, you have to hear a whole lecture and then put it. He says, heart is center of consciousness. Where is the heart? Center of our consciousness. What is the consciousness? Thinking, willing, feeling. These are the qualities of the consciousness. So when you are thinking something, that's where you are. That's what you are. If I literally ask you right now, how do you prove yourself you exist? How do you prove?
You can see me.
So you are awareness. You follow? That you see me, I am aware, I am in the temple of Alachua. Alachua is in Florida, in America, in the Earth planet. You are aware, that awareness proving that you exist. So you're thinking, that's called Sat. Sat, Chit, Ananda. If you break down, Prabhupada give you a very nice analogy, that you're thinking, that awareness and your willingness, just like right now, the facility is given by the gift of Prabhupada, ISKCON Society. Yes? But capability to learn, you need a skill. You know the word skill? Just like you have a map of your life here. Right here, everybody's map. What is going to happen in your life? This is right here. But can you read? No. Most of the people have no idea. What do you mean, palm reading? I don't know whether it's true or not. You don't know how to read. If you know how to read, you will know where you are, what's going to happen in your life. This whole map is here. This is a science. It's better. It's called Jyotish Shastra. Prabhupada said two things very important for a Brahmana. Ayurveda, the medicine, and the Jyotish Shastra. So, but how many people can read? Almost 99.9% have no idea how to read, even though it is all here, like a GPS. In order to read a GPS, you have to have an eye. Your eye is not enough. The eye has to open. And even eyes open is not enough. You have to have a GPS, iPhone or something that's showing you. And then make sure it is connected that way it is going. You know, so many things, like called interdependence. So similarly, these are called skill. When you say the word skill in English, skill means that you are capable. And just like right now you're sitting here, and to learn is a willingness. What is willingness? It's a choice. You choose to hear about Krishna. You follow? So these three things in Krishna consciousness, very applicable. The facility, skill. We have to learn how to remain humble and receptive. How to be service attitude develops in our heart. These are skills, very important. Without skill, it's difficult. So facility we need skill, also we need a willingness. That I want to serve, I want to... This is a choice individual soul has to make. So with this, we understand that thinking, willing, and feeling is the quality of consciousness, and in the center of that consciousness, Prabhupada said, is the heart. That heart is the soul from whom a subtle body called ego, the another body, covers that soul. And when the subtle body carries the soul to a physical body, through the semen of a father to the mother's womb, the child grows, then the physical body develops. Then that soul from it, this thinking, willing, feeling emanates and covers the whole body. Just like a little perfume, you put it here, you can smell because the air carries it. You follow? Similarly, one place, the soul is there, thinking, willing, feeling is all over the body. You pinch here, you feel it. Ouch! But you are here or here? So how do you feel here? Because it's like a connected, this thinking, willing, feeling, the feeling. And three process of approaching spiritual life. Thinking is good, awareness is good, but feeling is the most important. We need more Krishna experience, Krishna consciousness experience, more than Krishna explanation. You know, few word sentence I pick and keep it in my, try to keep it in my memory. Sometimes Prabhupada throws. You can read the whole purport. There are few things like so applicable in my life right now. So I pick those and keep it. It will be nice to remember the entire books, but it's difficult. Something that you can relate. So we do need more Krishna experience than Krishna explanation. So now we are coming to this point that Krishna is so small, smaller than small, as they enter into this heart of this minute particle called soul. Also, he is the giant body of Mahavishnu that no other form or no other philosophy or religion ever explained like that. So if you calculate both, take the smallest and then you bring, you know, like in a map you do that, say we are four and you have a $2,000, I have a $1,000, he has a $750, she has a $1,500, but we want to have equal. So what do we do? We add all four together and you divide by four, yeah? Then it's equal. Similarly, smaller than smallest and bigger than biggest. You put together and there will be a medium size. And that medium size is the Krishna form that he chooses. Like a human form. It's called Madhyama. Very unique. In a personal relationship. So that Bhagavan is, technically we must remember that that Krishna has a six opulences, that's true. One opulence holding other five. If you remember like this, you can grasp it very quickly. What opulence Krishna has that holding other five? What do you think? The beauty. Always remember, beauty, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our acharya, he gave an example. Beauty is like a trunk. What is the biggest trunk of the tree? The whole tree. And just imagine a big tree and it has a two big limbs. One is power, one is strength. And the other one is that fame which has a two sub-branches. One is renunciation, one is knowledge. You follow? Knowledge is a goal for millions of people in this planet right now. I can tell you some religious society, that's all they think of their goal of life, to merge into that light. That light is the knowledge. You follow? In 1427 Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratishta Aham Amritasya Vaishya. I am the base of that Brahman, Krishna says. I am the base. Means, If you have a candle here, a practical example, and just imagine there is dark in this room, and you put a big candle here, and you are thinking, my goal of life is to come to that light. You ever heard Brahma Kumari? A society you heard about? Just like we are Hare Krishna society, there's a one society called Brahma Kumari. They are in Jacksonville also. Mainly Indians, Middle Eastern, there are a lot. There are millions. Their entire goal of life to go to that light. And it was very interesting. I had a talk with one of the teachers. Anyhow, she could not answer. Finally, she said she'll get back to me. It's almost 2 years, never got back. So then, just remember this example. If there is a candle, and this candle is illuminating this room, yes? Now, if you think, okay, my goal to come to the light, and you came there. If the candle moves to the outside, what happened to you? If the candle moves out of this room, what happened to you? You are in dark. You are no more in light. You follow? So there, that's the biggest mistake they are doing, that they do not know where this light coming from. So Krishna claims, I am the source, I am the base of that light. Those who are not attached to Him, those who are not coming to Him, they may be disappointed. They are the one who fall down again to this world. They go up there, they come back there. Chances are there to come back. Why? Because they are focusing on the light, but they don't see that light comes from Krishna. It is Him who decides everything. But if you are with the candle, you are always in illumination, light. So similarly, if you think like this pain has a two branches, one is illumination, light, and one or jnana, knowledge. This philosophy is actually knowledge. You know the funny story, Mother Sochi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother. She was one day, she saw her baby, Nimai, the Supreme Lord, walking. All of a sudden she saw every toenail, every finger, the light is coming out like a torch. And she got so scared, she started rubbing her eye, maybe I'm seeing something scary or, you know, because constant Krishna's body producing unlimited effulgence. Jad Adyaita Brahma Upanishadi Tadupasya Tanubha Ja Atma Antarjami Purusho Sahasang Surivava Sara Isharja Purna Bhagavan Ja Sayamayam Na Chaitanya Krishna Jagati Paratatta Paramha. This verse explained that all the Brahma Jyoti, all the lights, illumination, all this knowledge is nothing but illumination from Krishna's body coming out, constantly, unlimitedly coming out, every moment. That's why even the space, generally in the modern science world, they say the space is a absence of, vacuum is the absence of what? No. Atoms. That's what they say. But they have no idea about the space or sky. Sky rests on Brahman. It's unlimited. Even though material world is limited, but limited of unlimited. It's also unlimited. Can be. It's very mysterious. So, if you think like six opulences, Krishna's body is the beauty, and beauty holds all other five. How? Two are the most important. One is wealth, one is power. And the third one is also important, the fame, which has the sub-branches, knowledge and renunciation. And then one day we'll discuss more details about it, but at least some idea. So that Supreme Lord, who is all-pervasive everywhere, He's also localized into the atom, and into the heart of all living entities. That name you are chanting. Now when you are chanting that name, Hare Krishna, that Krishna is everywhere, in the heart of everyone, permitting, without his permission, nobody. So if you see a cobra is coming or danger is coming in your life, and you are chanting Hare Krishna, why you should be afraid? He is everywhere. He is in the heart of the danger, heart of you. The fear disappears. More you contemplate on this, fear will disappear. You will become fearless because you took shelter of Krishna. But that connection may be lost if you don't have a subordination. Always stay under Srila Prabhupada's guidance. Always think of, by his mercy I'm here, by his mercy I'm going to serve the holy name. Then your protection is very secure. Very secure. You will feel that. It is necessary always to remain subordination to a Vaishnava. Otherwise it's dangerous. Okay. So that Krishna's name we chant. So now I'm going to tell you this is a little technical. Today is the first day. And then from tomorrow we'll do some past tense. Technical part is that the origin creation, because there is no, like when the great personality, they see the spiritual world, they try to explain to the conditioned world, their feeling, their vision, they verbalize. How they do it? By taking shelter of a language. But the language may not be explaining exactly how their perception actually meant. That's why it says that Bhagavatam is so sweet, Bhagavatam is complete, but Sukhdev Goswami knew unlimited pastimes. He only gave few what is applicable to us. Because sometimes some of the pastimes we cannot relate. For an example, if you say the all-pervasive absolute truth, he is everywhere, he is all-pervasive, he is omnipotent, omniscient, very good. Then you tell the new guy, that omniscient, omnipresent personality, he has an elder brother. What do you think their brain thinks? What? Why he needs an elder brother for? He is omniscient, omnipresent, he is complete. He has an elder brother and he has a lover. What? Then their process cannot proceed, you know? Our brain capacity sometimes, like for an example, if you say, you see this map, what color is this? You can say, well, this is probably burgundy, maroon, something like that. And then you say, this cushion doesn't have intelligence. Can you explain about that? That this cushion doesn't have intelligence. What can you explain? Because the intelligence and this substance is not related. It makes sense? So, similarly, when they see such a phenomenon in the spiritual world, and to relate to this relative world, they take a shelter of the language that the other can relate, sometimes it's not possible completely. But with humble, submissive attitude, possible we can understand a lot. So I'm going to go right to the point. That supreme, all-pervasive personality has a two most important features. One is, he is eternally self-satisfied. He is eternally self-satisfied. He doesn't need anybody to do anything or give him anything. He doesn't have to relate to anything. is completely complete eternally. There is nothing needed. Then our Acharyas explains when God is completely self-satisfied and how. Then why do we discuss about Srimati Radharani, Balaram, spiritual world, variety? Why needed all this? That question will come. So there is another concept of that one absolute, that Srila Prabhupada explains in the second canto Bhagavatam. There is one group of people in this world, they think God is one. He is completely pure. There is no variety. There is nothing needed. We also accept in one angle, yes. And it has nothing to do with the material problem or material world or material condition. What is that called in English? Monism. Follow? And that concept has a two manifestations. Another is that, well, there is God, but that God has now scattered and became to this world. Now everybody from this world do something to get back there, and when you get back there, you become one. You don't have any individuality left. Because it was one before, and now it became many, then it will become one back. That's called pantheism. Monism, one concept, there's another concept, pantheism. And there are millions, even one Jewish rabbi, he has a 3 PhD on Torah. And he actually loves our Vedanta philosophy more. Because even if you go to the end of the Torah and then they accept that this body has to dissolve, then the subtle concept of I-ness is there. But in ultimately, that I-ness also dissolves. And there is no further explanation. Because there is no further explanation, so different rabbi talks about it. And that's called Rabbi Torah. There's a 5 chapter of Moses called Torah, and then there's another Torah called Rabbi Torah. And each rabbi sometimes conflict. He thinks this is what happened there. He says, no, this is what happened. Like this. So that conception is also there. And if you go to, literally like Islamism, even Christianity, they said the God has a form. In Bible it says that God has a form, but you cannot create that form in the material with the material element, because his body is not material, his form is not material, you cannot think any material form to be his. What about my thinking? No, you cannot think. What about my drawing? No, you cannot draw, you cannot think. So what are you coming to conclusion? Okay, there is God, but you cannot draw. Why I am giving this? Because we are so much attached to our deity. Those who do not promote to inner connect with the deity form or some, in a meditation of mental form of God through the pictures, they are actually not doing a good service to those human beings. Because apathy to devotional service is the birthplace of impersonalism. So when the soul, conditioned soul, they are not interested to serve God, and then you tell them, well, you don't have a, you can only serve the humankind, but you cannot purify the humankind with the God's food because you don't worship deity, then what do you come to conclusion? impersonalism is still there as a contamination. Impersonalism will never disappear from the heart of conditioned soul until they start meditating on the form of the Lord and they engage in the deity service. Deity service is the most compassionate form of the Lord to remove this impersonal conception. It is necessary. Otherwise, deep down in our heart, we will have some kind of impersonal, well, I know, but I don't know really how the God form us. That's why the deity worship is established, to have some respect to the form of God. Those who are not promoting the deity worship, the holy name is the most merciful, more than deity form. That is true. That is true. Because after 9:15, what happened? You don't have access of the deity. But you can chant anytime, anywhere in the world, right? So holy name is more merciful. That is 100% true. But deity is also very important to purify our existence, offering food, because we are personal being. We are not impersonal. We are not robot. Relationship with Krishna is a personal base. So deity form actually relate, give us an opportunity to reciprocate. And when you actually dress more and more, you will see how Prabhupada, hearing that one Mataji, she was ironing the pajama for the night dress. And they asked the question why, and then she answered, and Prabhupada heard it. She said, well, it's winter, it's cold. Krishna must feel warm, so I make it warm. Iron it and warm it, so Krishna will feel warm. Prabhupada was appreciating a lot that she is already advanced. Because when you have that feeling, it is beyond time, space and matter. The biggest problem the people have when they see the deity, they think is a matter. You follow? We say in 10:41, Jajjat Bhivati Matsattam Srimat Urjitam Egova in Bhagavad Gita. Jajjat Bhivati Matsattam Srimat Urjitam Egova. Tattat Abhagachattam Mamateja Angsa Sambhava. That we say transcendental is God in the spiritual world. Immense is God in the material world. The conception of God or the deity, that when you tell somebody that they think God, the word God refers to a conscious supreme being who is beyond three things. Matter has a two, gross, not a marble. When you look at the deity, you think marble is a physical gross matter. No, deities are not gross matter. That's where the challenges come. The God is beyond matter, subtle and gross, both. Subtle, like my mind is thinking, well, I don't know, really supreme being in this alatva, right here in this altar. All pervasive is here. He's everywhere. That is inconceivable potency. Unless you accept that inconceivable potency, you cannot pursue, you cannot enter into the mystery of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is beyond three things. What are those? Matter, time, space. And anybody talks about God besides God-conscious people, they are within these three. Therefore, they don't have access to the spiritual realm. That has to be understood. So that's monism, pantheism. Then monotheism is that, like a Bible also says, Bible is also part of monotheism, that God created heaven and earth. That means he existed before heaven and earth. You follow? You can rephrase that, that okay, God, they believe that God exists separately from his creation, simultaneously. You follow? That idea of philosophical perception is monotheism. Now we also accept that. We accept all of them, but partially, they are not complete yet. Then you have a polytheism. Now some people will come, you know the history of the world. One big personality came, he saw in the area of Middle East, the area is called Mecca, he saw many god worshippers. So he established monism. How did he establish? By destroying all the polytheistic ideas. He thinks if he destroy all these, all gods worshipping idea, everybody worship their own god, this is there in this world. So it's they already did in the Middle East. They kill those people or destroy those god deity, and after destroying everything in this whole city, then they establish, okay, this is the one god, not too many god, not many god. Do we accept that? We also say Krishna is the only god. Is it true or not? Yes, it is true. But we don't establish like that. Why? Because we also take polytheistic idea. What is it? That one god Krishna, he has his potency, Srimati Radharani, complete potency. They also become unlimited form. So it is polytheistic also. Krishna is unlimited form. Simultaneously within him, also outside him. Our conception of Krishna, God consciousness is so complete and so unique that no philosophy even comes closer to it. So that's what they did. You know, Abraham did it. What did Abraham do? He literally destroyed polytheistic idea. Then he established one God. Same thing Muhammad did also. He destroyed all this different gods worshipping, and he said, no, not so many gods, only one God. Okay. They think by destroying all the other worship, establishing one is the only principle. But Krishna consciousness is so unique, so beautiful. He says, no, you can, we believe only one God, that's true, Krishna. But he is not alone. He is endowed with his inconceivable potency. If you cannot accept that, you will not understand Krishna consciousness. Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always endowed with inconceivable potency. Is Radharani God? Yes. Radharani is also God. We accept both. That's why we say bimorphic. We say that Srimati Radharani, as Krishna expand into many gods, many forms, Radharani also expand many forms to serve him. So it is polymorphic by monotheism. It is polymorphic by monotheism. And Prabhupada says that is a complete understanding. One has to understand that way. But the rest of the world's philosophy, we're not trying to like put them down or anything. It's just a part of that Krishna consciousness, a little part. You can see Krishna consciousness everywhere, but partial, not complete. When you read Bhagavatam, it's complete. It is so complete and such a nice, loving way established. Even one Krishna in Vrindavan, when Krishna came after 125 years old, as soon he crossed the Jamuna and entered into Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda sees Krishna, how old? 5 years, a child. This is the mystery. Her affection for her child, and Krishna is such a unique God, he always reciprocates with her in that form. And that form is so attractive. Those who are in parental mellows, in relationship with Krishna, that other mothers seeing Mother Yashoda's Krishna, they faint. Because it's such an attractive feature that instead of falling in love as a mother, they start worshipping. It is so unique. This is very, difficult for other philosophers to conceive this. How is it possible that this idea of God reciprocate in that way? Like the coward boys, when they see Krishna, how old they see? 'According to your eternal relationship with him.' Vrindavan is such a complete, such a perfect. When you hear Vrindavan in very details, you find this is the only place you want to be eternally. You don't want to even think of any other place. Of course, you may say, then why Bhagavatam is giving explanation of Mathura, Dwarka and other spiritual world? Bhagavatam explaining those other spiritual world to promote the Vrindavan conception. Sometimes diamond has a value, but when there is an imitation, cubic zirconium when discovered in America, the people had a fear that the diamond price will go down because cubic zirconium also beautiful. But actually in comparison, within a short time, they saw that actually it promoted diamond's beauty. Because cubic zirconium, it turns into dull after a little while. 6 months later, there's no more beauty. The brightness is lost, luster is gone. You know, the shimmering feeling. What happened? Because it's cheap mineral. But the diamond's beauty increased more. So sometimes, in order to promote Vrindavan conception, to attract the conditioned soul, the acharyas, they give those explanations. Like you have to understand the opulence of Vaikuntha. We are not interested. Yeah, you have to be interested. Why? When you understand the opulence of Vaikuntha, how much Vaikuntha, what Vaikuntha is, you think? You get a body, that body is you, not that you have a body. You are the body. Do you have a mosquito? No. Oh, there is mosquito, but the mosquito does not suck your blood. Do you have a achy pain when you sit long time with this body? No. Because you are this body at that time, and that body is 100% full of joy. You never sleep. Part of Vaikuntha, there is no darkness, there is no night, always light. You are also self-illuminated. The light is also coming from you. Everywhere you go, it's all light. Everything is light. You can meditate for millions and millions of years Why? Because you like to meditate. You can do whatever you want. If you want to go to another planet, you can just by your mind, you immediately create an airplane. An airplane doesn't require any maintenance or mechanical mechanism system. You follow? As you're thinking, Prabhupada explains that it transforms into any color you want. In Adi Lila chapter 5 in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when you go to spiritual world, you'll see in the sky there's a cloud. You think, oh, we have a cloud, we need the rain, but the spiritual world, they're not cloud. There's a millions of airplanes of the devotees. They just land on the space. And they hear, they're always hearing, oh, there's a pastime taking place in one planet. They just immediately, they fly there. And millions of planes goes there and landed there. They look at the beautiful pastime of the Lord. They're so happy. They sing, dance, because they never need to eat. We're not talking about Vrindavan. We're talking about Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha body do not need to eat. You never break down. You never age. You can take a different color, different form sometimes. You can literally fly anywhere. You can be anywhere. You can be by yourself in an entire millions of miles kingdom by yourself. They are called Shasti, Samipa, Salutya, Sajujya. There's so much opulence. You can have as much opulence as God has. You can literally have complete freedom. This is real freedom. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is promoting this detachment devotion? Because he said, what do you have? What do you have in this world? You have a memory of how to die. You have a memory of how to take birth. You have the memory of how to survive. This is not it's like a very wealthy, rich man's child became orphaned. And he's lost. We are many. We need to understand that this is not our home. We are homeless. When you think of Vaikuntha opulence, you say, wow, unbelievable. You can have a really heartfelt friend. Like you both are one. You can have a husband, wife live there. Sex is not even attractive. Why? Because sex pleasure is so insignificant, it's like a scratching your skin. You don't enjoy too much of scratching your skin. Like sex enjoyment, Prabhupada made it so heavily, those points. The sex is like insignificant. Because just thinking of God in Vaikuntha, just sitting and talking about Him gives you so much happiness, sex is like a nobody even think. But you can be with your wife, family, you can be with everything, and you have a complete. You never have to earn money. You live there eternally. And if you want a planet where there is no sunlight or moonlight, it's self-illuminated. It's very difficult to imagine what is self-illuminated without sunlight, moonlight, right? Because we see, like right now, you have electricity, you have a sunlight during the day. But without sun, without electricity, without darkness, how do you live? It's mystical. It is 100% accessible of anything and everything. What do you need? Nothing. Everything is there, complete. That is real freedom from the material world. We should be hankering for that. There's nothing wrong. But when you literally pursuing that, and you see unlimited opulence, so much everything. This unlimited opulence is compared to a little dust. Each sand in Vrindavan has this unlimited opulence within that sand. You need to, what is Vrindavan? Your dimension, your angle of vision to look at Vrindavan has changed now. Because you think unlimited opulence, like never have to die, never have to anything, all this, it's in a little one sand has all this. Yes. Vrindavan is so high, that conception is so high. But if we only think of Vrindavan without understanding the opulence, then there is a problem, because conditionally we are not attracted to that conception of Vrindavan, because we think Vrindavan in a negative way. If you think, who is promoting Vrindavan? Lord Chaitanya, he is always crying. Who they think promoted Vrindavan in Bhagavatam? Uddhava. What is doing? He is also crying, hankering. Oh, if I can have a dust of the gopis. They're always hankering, crying. Who is happy there? These are negative perception, if you think like this. Positive perception is, first you understand the majestic aspect of God. Omnipotence, omnipresence. Why? Because that will evoke your submission. Submission, surrender to God will not be promoted by Braja Prema. Braja Vasi's relation with Krishna. Surrendering to Krishna will come from the majestic opulence conception. Who Krishna is, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then when surrender is completing, surrender will never complete. There is no such thing called end of surrender. I thought this surrender also has a limit. Srila Prabhupada answered in one, who asked that question? I think Sasur Maharaj, he asked that question to Prabhupada, that when the surrender is complete, Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world, the happiness is like a ocean which has no depth, no bank. How big is the ocean? No depth and no bank. No shore. It's impossible to measure. That's what Mahaprabhu says. Gavi sunna. Means there is no shore, there is no depth. This is how the happiness of the spiritual world is. So in that conception, Prabhupada said, surrender is like you are sometimes swimming, you are floating, you are like drowning. When do you reach the end? There is no end. So surrender is also like this. Spiritually, in the spiritual world also, they are always thinking. They want to do more for God. More and more. More. There is no limit? Yes, there is a limit. Kind of like Sanatana Goswami Pad give an example. When you are in love with God, the discrimination power is lost in that love. Just like Mother Yashoda. She cannot think this is supreme absolute truth. No danger will happen to him. He is eternal. She sees Krishna is running and fell, she started like crying, oh, don't run like this, don't run like this. Why she? Because discrimination power is lost. This is what love does. Love is not a is not a only intention, it is an execution. It's not only a mental, it is a physical action. Love is defined like this. When you love somebody, you have to do something to please that person. Because eternally Krishna is situated in that place, in that position. Krishna is not asking any Brajavasi to do anything for him. They are mad to do something to please him all the time. This is the beauty of Krishna. This is the nature of Krishna. When you see Krishna in that conception, that you will think like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to please him? I have to do something. You will be crazy because he's so beautiful, so attractive. Even in the material world, when you see a very glamorous or very attractive, very powerful personality, you feel like to be close, to know that person. It's natural, because Krishna is situated in that. He is the source of all wealth, source of all beauty. So naturally, every soul has a natural attraction. In the material world, when you see the water, material elements, when you see the water, what happens to the water? Always flowing from higher to lower. You see the river, you see anywhere it goes. Anywhere, if you put water here, if there is a lower portion, it will go there. Why? Because all the water originally comes from the ocean. It's looking, searching for its origin. Every water in this world always searching for its origin. That's why they go down, down, down. And opposite is fire. Anywhere you light fire, it's always looking for up, source. Where is the source? Sun. Sun is the origin, source of all the illumination, light, fire, and everything. Anywhere you see the flame, it's always trying to reach up, up, opposite to the water. Because their source is opposite. Air, space, like this, everything always searching. Similarly, the soul is also searching. Searching for Krishna, searching for that Supreme Being. So what we are doing? We are trying to tell them that your search will be disappointed if you don't come to Krishna consciousness, because you are searching for Him, but in a wrong place, in a wrong way. That's all. Search you cannot stop. Any philosophy tells us that, look, you should not look for enjoyment. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a song. Narottam Das Thakur also wrote a song. If, Ildar, you are given a choice to live with one person out of these two, and one person out of these two, he is very nice spiritual believer, he is not interested into sense enjoyment, he believes there is no enjoyment ultimately. You just give up this existence and merge into this and become one. No sense function, no heart function, no affection, nothing. Just get out of this material world. That's one guy. Another guy, he likes party, enjoying in the material senses. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked that question, which one you want to live with? If you have no other choice, but you're going to spend rest of your life with which one? One is spiritual. He's not into sense enjoyment, he's not a party boy. He just likes to be transcendental, but he believes nothing in ultimate sense, any function of the heart or the senses. You just punish. Now you punish the senses and ultimately you become one with that invisible, unidentified existence. Which one? This one, with the sense enjoyment, party boy. Why?
Because he's active.
Very good. If you say why, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, and if you don't believe, Krishna says, mittachara so uchyate. The soul is always active, even in sleep. You are dreaming, you are doing something. Soul is always active, first of all. Second, soul is always pleasure-seeking by nature. Any philosophy do not support these two. They are harming them. I know there's a millions of people believe in one philosophy in this world. They literally harming to themselves. They think we should not have any desire. In LA, they have a big temple where you pay $500 to become desireless. And you sit against the wall. You ever heard that? Oh, yeah. They also in Miami now. And people, they pay $500. You go training 2 hours. You sit against the wall. And every time mind creating the desire, you punish the desire. It's very funny. And I happened to meet one of them. I still have the card of his with the lotus flower. So we asked a few questions. To become desireless, you have to have a desire to become desireless. Where that desire coming from? Is it possible that you can become desireless? Impossible. We are made of thinking, willing, feeling, that Sat Chit Ananda. Chit, that Chit potency has a two function. One function is willpower, another is desire. That willpower does abstinence and persistence. In your life, generally everything you do based on these two. You want to do this, you don't want to do this. Where is this coming from? Willpower. This willpower and desire is the quality of that chit potency. It is strange that they are trying to suck the money from the innocent public, and they promote, and it's big, it's growing, but it's foolish. They promote that you have to become like completely like a robot type of, and then you'll be happy when completely desire. Should we be interested of also in fall for that? No. But should we embrace the other side, embrace all the desire? No. We are not interested. What is we can see within us, we don't have a control what is coming through us, all the desire. But in order to be Krishna consciousness, you have to be very selective. We are not interested of rejecting the desire. Don't spend time of rejecting desire. There's a very fine line, very fine line. Don't try to reject the desire. Try to be selective. Because desire is not coming by your own endeavor. You are sitting here, automatically mind is creating so many ideas in front of you. Oh, I could have done this, I heard this, I remember that. You follow? So many things passing through, even though you're sitting face to face, but your mind is like another movie going on. So what should we focus? Don't focus on that. Focus on what is passing through, what you can use to come close to Krishna, take that. Be selective. Because if you think like, I don't like this thinking, I don't like this thinking, you end up of negative again. Positive means be selective. Okay, this idea is good. I like that idea, Krishna sanction. The other idea, you don't like it, you don't need to focus on it. It's very, very practical. Okay. We had a huge chart, we didn't talk about the chart. But... But we understood that polymorphic bimonotheism, at least we got that idea established. Good. I'm just next few minutes because it's going to. Why absolute truth has to take birth? Because it's going to take birth on 3rd. Why absolute truth has to take birth? He appeared from the pillar, Nrisimhadev.
There are different reasons.
Yeah.
Either to protect devotees or Krishna appeared as Krishna. He appeared just, you know, to enjoy. Or he appears to establish, re-establish religious principles.
But he doesn't have to take birth. He can just appear from nowhere because he is everywhere. What you said is correct. These two sloka in Bhagavad Gita we should always memorize. In chapter 4, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskitam dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavami juge juge. यदा यदा ही धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानम् अधर्मस्य तदात्मनम् सृजामि अहम्. फर्स्ट श्लोक सेज व्हाई ही अपीयर्स, थ्री रीजन, एंड सेकंड श्लोक सेज व्हाट ही डज, हाउ ही एक्ट्स. सेज यदा यदा ही धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति, व्हेनेवर देयर इज ए ग्लानि मीन्स इम्प्यूरिटीज, इररिलीजियस arose in the world. People are misguided. Is in four? You have it?
No.
Oh. And then Glani Bhavati Bharata. Then he comes, he appears every millennium to protect the sadhus and annihilate the creature demons. But question comes, he can do this without taking birth, can't he? He can do that. He can appear right here. Krishna can appear right here. He's already here. He's in the outer too, yes. But why he has to take birth? We should remember. Huh?
To show that he is as well.
To show that he is like one of us. Oh, he doesn't have to take birth to show that. Actually, he is not one of us. Yes, this is very good. We should remember this. Because people will ask that question, your mind will ask that question. Krishna is everywhere. He can appear from anywhere. He doesn't need to take birth. He takes birth because without taking birth from the womb of a mother who wants him to reciprocate in the parental relationship, in order to complete the nourishment, because mother carrying the baby. So beautiful. My child is coming. He is the Supreme Lord. But he's my child. She's meditating. She's meditating. She's going through so much emotional nourishment. Krishna in the heart is not entering like a human, from a man to the woman enters. Not like this. How Krishna enters? In the heart of the mother? From the heart of the father to the heart of the mother. One time, Nanda Maharaj, he was meditating and he wanted a child, but he did not want to do the rituals. Why? Because he is thinking, you do the rituals to get a child, but I'm not looking for child. I'm looking for that boy who comes in my dream every night. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna and mother, they always dream every night. And Nanda Maharaj, many times he dreamed, he saw that this is his palace. Oh, I'm in my palace, I'm in my house. And he saw in the backyard, beautiful boy, playing so beautifully. And he's watching, and he's like mesmerized. Such a beautiful boy, such a beautiful son, beautiful, lovely, loving. When he smiles, when he looks at me, I cannot control myself. So attractive. Then he saw another girl also there, going around him with a covering him, so other cannot see. And he's thinking, why? Who is she? Why is covering in my backyard? Then after a little while, he wake up. So, oh, I was dreaming. It was not actually fact. This is how Nanda Maharaj is thinking. Nanda Maharaj dream every day, but he's thinking, should I talk to my wife? But Mother Yashoda is also dreaming. Every night dream, this beautiful child. Where is this child? Where? Oh, I am in my house. Oh, he's my child. He's my son. So they did severe austerity to have a child. But they never looking for a son. They're looking for that boy that comes in the dream to become their son. But who is going to tell them how is possible? So because of the little short time, I'll give you a little taste of that. Just for a few minutes. One day, Nanda Maharaj, sitting in the court, and their whole discussion is how to have a one child Nanda Maharaj has. Nanda Maharaj, he come from a very austere, very religious, most pious person whose name is Prajanna Maharaj. Now in Vedic culture, you know, Vedic culture, the king comes from a Kshatriya family. And Vaishya, the mercantile, there are four types of mercantile. You do the cows, the business, land, you follow. And these are all different. They are not all same. There are four types of Vaishya. There are different type of Kshatriyas. So, this Nanda Maharaj's family, they are Vaishya. They are cow herding, agriculture, mostly cow pasturing. How did they become king? Do you know? Because his father was so genius. He used to love the whole villagers just like his own children. And when Ugrasen, Kongsa's father, he saw Prajanna Maharaj was doing so beautifully, he felt like, wow, he's just like a king. He's not a business Vaishya. He's not a cowherding man. He's like a really father to the whole village. So he made him instantly a king. So that's why their last name is Maharaj. Prajanna Maharaj. He was very loving. He used to worship Shiva. And he told Lord Shiva in meditation, he worshiped, Lord Shiva appeared. He said, I want my middle son to have a child. Then Lord Shiva gave a blessing. I bless you that your middle son, he had a 5 sons. And Nanda Maharaj is in the middle. And there is a story how Nanda Maharaj became the king. Why not the first son? Because in the Vedic culture, the first son becomes the king. Nanda Maharaj is number 3rd. So there's Upananda, is the oldest son, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sananda, Nandana. These are the 5 brothers. And Nanda means happy. They are always happy, all these 5 brothers. That's why the father gave the name. Nanda means very happy, joyful. They are not morose, they are always joyful. But one time, they had a moroseness because all the citizens saying Nanda Maharaj should have a son. So in one sentence I'll tell you, another day I'll tell you the whole story, but one sentence. One day, when Prajanna Maharaj was getting old, you know how you know you're ready to retire for Krishna consciousness, Vanaprastha? The moment you see a gray hair. Look at in the mirror, if you have a gray hair, no more enjoyment. Now time for Vanaprastha. For 50 years old means gray hair is coming. You follow? If you look at in the mirror, oh, I have a gray hair. If you shave, you may not see it. Better shave. So you don't see it. He's smart.
So I should take a break from Krishna.
No. If you have a gray hair, means you become serious. No more enjoyment in this world. You become very serious, one point. Banaprastha, ban means arrow. You ever see arrow comes back? No, it only goes that way. Banaprastha means when you're going that way, that's it, you are going. You're not coming back around. No fall down business. No coming back. Just one shot to the lotus feet of Krishna. Nothing else. Anything else comes, you go around it, but keep going. Problem will come, definitely, but you go around it. No need to complain. So, one time Prajnana Maharaj, he says, I'm going to retire. So, the oldest son supposed to become the next king. But Upananda, oldest son, he says, Father, I should not become the king. Why? Because don't you see Nanda, my younger brother, middle brother, he's so loving. Even the cows, even the animals, all the brahmanas, they love him so much. He should be the best. He should be the successor. He should be the king. So they say, well, this is difficult because he won't take it. He will say, no, elder brother, he should become the king. So don't worry. We'll make some arrangement. How are you going to do it? He said, don't worry, I'll make some arrangement. So he talked to the brahmanas. They had a big assembly. Today is the new king in Vrindavan. Because Prajnana Maharaj, the grandfather, he's going to the forest for Banaprastha. More Krishna consciousness. That time Krishna didn't take birth. But they are in a family. So then all the family, friend, brahmana, millions of people, they gather together. So Prajnana Maharaj is about to leave and the new king will be coronated. Same time, coronation will take place. So in the coronation, means newly new king will be coronated as a successor. So Prajnana Maharaj said, okay, he took permission, he's going to go. And that time, Upananda is sitting there. And he called Nanda Maharaj, come here, my dear brother. Sit down here on my left. So he was sitting, he was a young boy, sitting here. Said, okay, now you know how they coronate? Not like American new president. They celebrate, but similar, but not exactly like this. In Vedic culture, they have a Raja Tilak. A beautiful protective mantra takes the form of a protection on their forehead. There's a whole explanation why Srimati Radharani doesn't have a tilak on the other part of the body and Krishna has. Because it's originally coming from there. But right now I'm not going to go there. It's a beautiful story. So anyway, the point is here. So Nanda Maharaj was sitting on the lap of Prajnana Maharaj. Upananda, elder brother. So the brahmana chanted the mantra, they have a fire. Alright, now we'll have a new king from today. Because the old king retiring, he's going to Banaprastha because he has a grey hair and he's ready for shooting for Krishna. So they take the tilak, the protective elements, and put the tilak and Nanda Maharaj is sitting. He has no idea. He said, alright, just sit here. And he put the tilak. Okay, today he's the king. What? Me? Why? Why me? I'm the middle brother, you're the older brother. And then Upananda gave a beautiful speech. The quality of Nanda Maharaj, the Krishna's father, how so affectionate, so kind. He always cared for the citizen. He always cared. He was not looking for becoming king. But his elder brother, out of love, out of compassion, out of affection, out of best for the whole Brajavasi, made this middle brother, Nanda Maharaj, as the new king. Nanda Maharaj can't do anything. He's like a shock. And all the brahmana says, yes, we observe you are the perfect candidate and your elder brother, two elder brothers, they all agree to want to make you the king. And I think this is the best. All the brahmana celebrated and they had a big festival. Mother Yashoda is another character. Such a unique character. She comes from, her father is a Somog Ghosh. Same last name I have. Somog Ghosh. But Somog, they have a, Mother Yashoda has a huge, beautiful pastimes. How she is, she got the name Yashoda. Yashoda means, can you say Yashoda? Just say it. Yashoda Maiya Ki Jai. That's Krishna's mother. Just by saying the name, you will become famous. Just by saying the name, Yashoda Maiya, you become famous. Some life you will experience this. Someday, maybe in this life. Yes, because she comes from a that kind of a family. That she did austerity. You know, we sing, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Abhari Nagari Jata. Because there is one word called Abhira Nagari. Abhira Nagari is actually her birthplace. That's why that is there in the song. Abhira Nagari is a place where Kshatriya lady married a Vaishya husband. In Vedic culture, you cannot just mix and marry anybody. Oh, no, no. They will reject you immediately. You like a... There are three types of ladies in Bhagavatam explained. And they have to be like marrying to their own group. And they have a, like a whole astrological base and everything. But sometimes there is a mix. Our Krishna is coming from a mixed family. The Supreme Lord Krishna, he comes from a mixed family. Why? Because his father's father, mother, whose husband was Kshatriya and mother is Vaishya. So Krishna's father's side is mixed. A ruler and a mercantile mother. Business mother, business family mother, and a ruler, like a king, father, they got married. And their child's son is Prajanna Maharaj, his son is Nanda Maharaj, his son is Krishna. So he has a mix this side. Also he has the opposite mix from the mother's side. Where the mother was high quality and the father was a Vaishya, and they got married, and their child, Somak Ghosh, his daughter is Yashoda Maiya. And very detailed explanation how that dynasty, that genealogy has so much beauty and effect. That's why Krishna is sometimes asked. When you see a beautiful child, you think like, oh, his mother must be beautiful or father must be beautiful. Somewhere he got this beauty from somebody, right? Even in spiritual book, in Bhavishya Purana I was reading, I remember, many, many years back, they asked this question, Gautama Rishi is asking, is Krishna is beautiful because Mother Yashoda is beautiful? Or Mother Yashoda is beautiful because Krishna is beautiful? Which one? Which one? You see, I saw a t-shirt in Alachu actually. If you think I'm beautiful, a child says, you wait till you see my mother. I saw a t-shirt, you know, a child, the back size. If you think I'm cute, look at my mother. Or if you think I'm beautiful, see how beautiful my mother is. Because it's originally, this also a question amongst the sages. They were asking this question. If the Supreme Lord Krishna is so beautiful, why? Because his mother is beautiful. And the others say, no, 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 no. His mother is beautiful because son is beautiful. Who is going to win? I don't know. But it's very interesting the point they give. And even in the explanation given, this is the color of the mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. It's in Nectar Devotion. You can read. Nanda Maharaj, he has a mustache. Prabhupada writes, he has a mustache. You know mustache, you know, man, Nanda Maharaj, yes. He has a little tummy. And Mother Yashoda, what color sari she wears the most? Srila Prabhupada even says in the purport, those who are in parental mellow, they should meditate Mother Yashoda's form. Her sari color is like magenta, orangey. Very beautiful, attractive. Her waist is very thin. Her beautiful body, Nanda Maharaj, is very grave, sober, gentle, very mature. Who you think Krishna loves the most, father or the mother? Now we have 1 minute, last question. How do you know? You think? One time actually, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they're discussing. Does he love you more than me? She said, no, no, he loves you more. Come on, you don't have to say it. Okay, let's try it. So they tried. So Mother Yashoda sits in one side and Nanda Baba sits in other side. And Krishna has to come from the neutral point, not other side door. You follow? So they call, Krishna, please come and see us. So Krishna ran towards Nanda Maharaj. Mother Yashoda is thinking, huh? And Krishna went near Nanda Maharaj and then ran back to Mother Yashoda. And Nanda Maharaj said, hey, I thought you came to me. You just almost came to me, but you went to Mother. So Krishna also knows how to play this. Yes, Krishna loves his parents perfectly. There is no question. What is the Damodar Leela? What is Damodar Leela? To renew the affection between Mother Yashoda and Krishna. If you can remember this, then Damodar Leela, you can actually relish. The whole Damodar Leela is nothing but renewing their affection for each other. At the end of the Damodar Leela, that was proven. Generally, we never hear so much about the end part of the Damodar Leela. Beginning part we know, he was running, chasing, breaking the pot, but end part is when Krishna was so attached to Nanda Baba, he would not. Mother Rohini even asked, where are you going to stay tonight? Who are you going to sleep with? Nanda Baba. Who is going to feed you? Baba. Baba means father. How are you going to get milk? He will take me to the cow, and from the udder of the cow, he just gave milk. As you know, the cow's udder, you see, Krishna took it, Balaram took it, and Nanda Baba gave them. That day, because they are upset with their mother, his mother tied him up. But then, at one point, at the end, Mother Rohini Maya strike it. You don't come right now, maybe you'll never see him. Krishna was shocked, scared. Nanda Baba was looking at each other. You want to come right now or you may not be able to see? Krishna forgot all his emotions. Ran and grabbed Mother Yashoda and cried. Gaur Premanande. Okay. Gaur Premanande.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Vani Kriti Namine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jai Krishna Balaram. Jai Jaya Goranitai Jaya Goranitai Jaya Goranitai Jaya Goranitai Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev
Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada
Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.